कुछ नहीं, भूख के मारे नींद नहीं आ रही इसलिए खाना खा रही है। तुम सो जाओ।
Talk about some of the people who are recently doing some sort of straddling or dabbling anyway in various kinds of things. Like we have a list that looks at Konkana Sen Sharma and people like that.
You know, the trend these days is for actresses, you know, glamorous Bollywood actresses to finally, you know, you start out with the bikinis and the Punjabi wedding songs, and then you hit a point in your career where everybody's like, well, she's been doing this for 10 years, it's time for her to get married and go wherever it is that Hindi film actresses go before they come back as mothers. And
Denver, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the trend these days is to kind of buck it and say, oh no, just before I go off into my forced marriage / pregnancy years, what I'm going to do is make this movie that proves I can act, so that when I come back, I can be hopefully something like Dimple Kapadia or Rekha or something. And of course, that never happens, but you have so many of, you know, it's like if you look at all the actors, all the actresses from, like, I think Madhuri Dixit was probably the first to do this. She had that whole shake her booty reputation all throughout the late 80s and early 90s. And then she became like this big, the last great movie star. And then she did Mrityudand, which was...
Love that movie.
Yeah, which was her art house effort. And then...
And Gajagamini too.
Yeah, but Gajagamini was like, you know, that was like a whole another thing, wasn't it? With... I mean, that movie's like so wrapped up in Hussein's obsession with her that I don't think anybody actually brings that.
Yes, it's creepy. It's creepy.
I don't think anybody ever brings that out. But if you look at when people discuss her career these days, if you look at it, they always say, you know, the Bollywood glam girl who also proved she was a great actress with this one movie. And it really is that, you know, that's kind of like what everybody's doing it for, you know.
See, I think with Madhuri, I think she proves she's a great actress with every B-level movie that she elevates into watchability by being brilliant in it.
True, true.
So I think it's a little unfair. I mean, not criticizing you, but criticizing people who characterize her that way. I mean, if you watch a movie like, you know, Khalnayak, I mean, the only thing that makes that movie tolerable is how great she is in it.
It's a little bit like how sometimes in Hollywood we get people like, you know, Charlize Theron, who wins an Oscar when she's ugly, quote unquote, or Nicole Kidman. You know, people pay more attention to pretty women when they suddenly turn ugly or they're taken seriously in a way that they're not before. I shouldn't say more attention, but, you know, you've got, perhaps there's a little bit of that kind of thing going on too, which is distasteful.
I think it was like one of those B-movie girls, Udita or something, Udita Goswami or someone like that. And somebody asked her, you know, would you consider putting on weight for like a Bollywood movie? And she was looked and she said, for a Bollywood movie? I don't think so. How about Aishwarya Rai?
You know, she turns up in at least sort of things that are making a bit of a splash or more of a splash in the West. And she's... You know, she's on Oprah and everybody knows who she is and that kind of thing. But that's not the same thing as what we're talking about. And I haven't seen Provoked. For me, the sort of different film that stands out there, well, there are two. the one that I like is the Tamil version of Sense and Sensibility, Kandu Kandain, which I don't know if you'd call that parallel cinema or not, maybe sort of middle. But that's a lovely film. And she is quite endearing in it, I think, and does a really great job at being the Marianne character from that story. But Carla and I both have watched, tell me what it's called, Carla, I've blocked it out so badly.
Chokar Bali.
Ugh.
And it, yeah, I really hated that movie.
Hated that movie. And I know, I mean, I see it in mentions of her sometimes as this, you know, amazing art house performance that she did. And I don't even remember how she is in it because the movie itself just maddened me no end.
Yeah, I mean,
remember?
I feel the things that I hate about that movie, you know, I can't tell if Aishwarya's performance is good or not because her character makes absolutely no sense. And the things that her character does are so thoroughly unmotivated. I mean, it's just the worst, I think the worst novel adaptation I've ever seen, you know, where everything that should be action is exposition and everything that should be exposition is shown. I mean, it's just awful. So I know a lot of people like that movie, but I'm totally unashamed and I stand by my opinion of it. She was also in Raincoat, which I think is better as kind of an old fashioned art house movie performance.
See, that movie completely put me to sleep. I can't, like, I tried to pay attention to it, but it was just these two people, and I just kept thinking, do something or get out or die or have a heart attack. Like, do something so that I stay awake, because it just wasn't happening.
Only by comparison to Chokar Bali, I find it tolerable, but I totally see your point.
Yeah, I mean, the classic art house movie that's, you know, that kind of character drama is that, you know, the characters are interesting and, you know, they're caught in an interesting situation. I didn't find either of those things to be true about Raincoat. I didn't find them interesting. I didn't find their situation interesting. I thought it was because they clearly weren't going to, you know, do anything about it. There was no tension whatsoever in that room between those two people. And it's just... You know, I was just watching, like, the world's most boring house visit.
So, I don't know. Do you think it's because these movies are maybe not that such great movies? I mean, does it reflect on Aishwarya, or is it that she's not working with the best material to prove what, you know, what she's capable of doing?
I think it's a combination of both. Aishwarya is, oh, Lord, I'm going to end up with a reputation on the internet as the biggest Aamir Khan slash Aishwarya Rai hater there is on the planet. But I swear I don't mean to come off as a hater. But here's the thing. She is universally acclaimed as a very beautiful woman. And that's true. Yeah. And I enjoy seeing her in your mainstream Bollywood movie being pretty because, you know, she does that extremely well. You know, she is... as much as I hated Action Replay, for example, I thought the dance numbers that she did were, you know, they made me want to watch the movie in the first place, to be honest, because they were fun. And she was pretty and, you know, she can dance. And I enjoyed all of that. But in art house movies, A, she has righteous face going on. It's when an actor is like, you know, you can see that in No One Killed Jessica as well. You know, Rani Mukherjee has a serious case of righteous face going on. And that immediately pushes me away from the movie because it immediately pushes my buttons and tells me that this is something extremely fake.
It's self-conscious and calculated.
Yes. And I don't like being manipulated in that way. So, you know, immediately, you know, it's not a story that I'm being told. It's something... It's pushing me towards a conclusion, which I don't like.
I'll back you up about Aishwarya and even go a step further. I find her extremely bland in mainstream films. And, you know, as I said, in these sort of artier films where I can't really tell if it's her fault or not, she does absolutely nothing for me. I get that she's beautiful, but she's beautiful in a way that is not at all interesting to me. There's nothing, there's no life in her face. It's too China doll, I guess. And I'm being very, very harsh now. There's definitely movies where I think she shines more and is where she's allowed to be a little earthier and a little less ethereal. I think Guru is an example where she was, where I really thought she was lovely in a very lively way. But most of the time, she doesn't do a damn thing for me. And so, I think if I were to see her, you know, in an art movie where I thought she gave a good performance, I think it would have to be a very delicately written, a very good character that she could really inhabit and not, and kind of not smother with that, self-consciousness.
She's a goddess on a pedestal, and that's kind of how almost everybody who shoots her, like all her directors, approach her.
I wish they wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason why she was such a lively character in Guru, for example, is because Mani Ratnam doesn't fall into that trap. You know, he actually shoots her as he would an actor, which kind of works. And in the art house movies that she does, I'm thinking of art house. I haven't seen Provoked either because pass. But
yeah, I sort of feel the same way.
So maybe that's like her one masterpiece that the three of us haven't seen, and somebody's going to write in and tell us all about it. But in movies like Chokerbali and Raincoat, the thing is that she's being all subdued, but she's still on that pedestal, you know? She still doesn't come alive. She's not a person.
And that's why I think Kandu Kandane works so well, because the character of Marianne in Sense and Sensibility leaps off any pedestal she may have been on and involves herself in something that turns out to be foolish with a person who turns out to be not at all who she was thinking he was. And, you know, that's a very vulnerable role. And I think she nails it, I have to say. Like, I've heard that she was dubbed in that film, and I haven't seen it recently enough to have a fresh opinion on that, but even just to watch her, you know, she's playful and vulnerable and really energetic. And, I just think it's a very cute turn from her. And that was actually the second film I ever saw her in. And I've been very colored by that. I actually really like her, but I can definitely understand what you both are saying. And the sort of ice princess thing that she can have going for her, I've definitely picked up on and find not very interesting to watch.
Like in Guzarish, the one point of that movie that actually came alive for me was this song that she does, you know, where she performs for Hrithik. And they have this entire dynamic going, you know, it's so perfect, her casting in that movie, in this one thing, in that theirs is a love that can, you know, never be consummated. Because, you know, he's paralyzed from the neck down and he has no sensation. And then, but, you know, he likes to tease her about it. And, you know, she's covered from the neck down, but they have this very sensual relationship of the mind, which comes across in this scene where she dances for him and she kind of lets loose, you know, like she acts goofy. She's, you know, she gets up on stage and she sort of flings herself about. And she's very unlike the rest of her time on screen in that movie. And to me, that kind of made that movie for me. Like, that was like one honest moment in a movie that had a great many artificial ones, I thought. And that's, you know, that happens very, very rarely with Aishwarya, I think.
Let's talk about Rekha for a second.
The complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, here's someone who did, I don't know if we would count the original Umar Al-Jahn as an art film, maybe.
I think a lot of people do think of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's in, you know, she's in Kali Yug and is amazing. Mm-hmm. She's in Zubaydah, which I don't remember very well, but... you know, she's someone who's done lots of different kinds of films too, and I think very successfully based on the ones I've seen.
I think I like Rekha better in art films, or well, I like her least, let's say, in the sort of ethereal, you know, Will of the Wisp avatar, that, you know, when she plays the Umar Al-Jahn type character in masala movies. Like in Mukadaka Sikandar, in Suhag, it's a little bit better because she's not quite as like distant and pathetic as she is in Mukadaka. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I agree with you, Beth. I think that when she gets to be, you know, kind of earthier and more real, she's really fierce.
And I don't like Ijazat. Is that what it's called, by Gulzar?
Yeah,
I watched that with Greta Elgo, and neither of us liked it at all, but I think she's actually quite good in it, and in scenes I can picture where she's sitting quietly and she's just got this don't mess with me face on that I really like.
Yeah, she's like the complete opposite. She's, I think, like from the first moment that she appeared in movies, she's been sort of this earthy, fierce sort of woman. Like, I think in her debut movie, Savan Bhado, right? And, you know, she's been that kind of person right from the beginning.
So what do you think, though, that she does end up in these kind of will-o'-the-wisp sorts of roles, like her awful role in Silsila?
Well, part of it is she can dance, right? So yeah. I can see why you cast her in Umar Al-Jahn roles. And that movie is so well acclaimed. I can see why
certainly after that came pedestal and, you know, just let people look at them, which it takes a lot of divestment from to work around.
She's just so much better when she gets to be fiery. Yeah,
I agree.
That when you make her airy, you're kind of stripping her of what's great about her, I think.
Yeah, it's very much stripping her of her powers, which is, you know, back to our thing from several months ago about write better roles for women. make there be something for them to do and engage with. Oh, Amrita, let's talk about K.K. Menon.
What can I say other than my ovaries explode every time I see
him? Oh, my.
To be fair, he hasn't done that many mainstream movies, I don't think. I mean, I can only think of Drona. I can't really think of much of many other roles that he's done.
Honeymoon Travels, once again.
I think Honeymoon Travels is the only movie I've seen him in.
Yeah, he was in Gulal, and he was in, like, that's my favorite K.K. Menon movie. But he was also, he's also done a cameo in that roller skating movie, La Fange Parente.
Roller skating movie? How did I miss this? Beth, everything's better on roller skates.
Except for this movie.
Carla and I have a test, which is, would this scene be improved by roller skates? It's just a test for general awesomeness, really. But
I have no idea why he isn't a huge star, because he has screen presence and he is handsome and he can act rings around most people. But
maybe that's why he's not a star.
That's probably it, too. Yeah.
Makes everybody else look bad.
Yeah. But, you know, Abhay Deol, he does movies on either side of the line.
That's true.
And then bitches about it, too, as Sonam Kapoor and Anil Kapoor found out to their cost. Does nobody love Abhay Deol other than myself?
No, of course I love Abhay Deol.
Yeah, I think he's great. But again, I have limited exposure. I think Honeymoon Travels and Dev D are all I've seen of him.
Let's talk about Om Puri.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he really is in everything. Does he make things better, do you think?
He certainly doesn't make things worse. I was surprised to see him in Dabang, for example. I don't know. I should learn not to be surprised by things anymore, I guess. But, you know, that was not a place I expected to see him. And I think that his character must have had a backstory that got cut or something, because the character's presence is not really well explained or given any kind of context. But he, you know, it was funny to see him kind of quietly sitting by while Sonu Sood, you know, goes into full-on villain mode and stuff like that. He was an interesting presence there.
I was prepared to see him there after I saw Sing is King last year.
Oh.
And he was with Sonu Sood in that as well.
Huh.
Yeah, he makes, like, a whole bunch of movies that you really wouldn't expect to see him in. I think more than any of the other actors we've mentioned so far. Because even when Nasiruddin Shah appears in movies that are just like, what? What are you doing in there? You can actually see that, oh, there's, like, a role, maybe. Like, you know, he's, like, the main villain or something like that. Like, when Om Puri came up as Akshay Kumar's best friend in Sing Is King, I'm like...
That sounds really weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how does that, like, you know, you're not even like anywhere like from two generations within each other. Like, what the hell? And then he spends the rest of the movie just playing his sidekick to absolutely no point whatsoever.
What a weird idea.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what that casting decision was like. Like, you know, best friends for Akshay Kumar. Who do we have? Om Puri. All right, we'll have Om Puri.
Do you think he was in London at the time or something, or wherever that movie was filmed, and they just said, let's use him?
Yeah.
I mean, to think of that, like, at the same time as he's, you know, playing the president of Pakistan in Charlie Wilson's War or whatever. I mean, that's really...
That's right.
It's so alien.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Was he in Charlie Wilson's War?
He was, yeah.
So weird.
I'm desperate, you know, to open IMDb now and see everything that he's been in, but I mean, he just shows up left, right, and center, and up, down.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I think of him in his art film Avatar, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, where he's, you know, what's he in? He's in Mandi, And he plays this like creepy photographer who's always like perving on all of the women in the quota and like trying to take their picture and stuff. And he's in Sparsh, he plays this like very sympathetic, you know, young blind guy, a very, very small part, but a very sympathetic part in Sparsh. And then
In Custody, he's the researcher who goes in search of the aging Urdu poet. You know, so he's kind of the window into the story there, which is I mean, that's kind of a futile role, but I think he was quite effective in that.
And then he's in Disco Dancer.
And then he's in Disco Dancer.
Like, what is the deal with that?
It's like Disco Dancer 1 year, City of Joy the next. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, so that's he's definitely like the ping pong ball who bounces around, you know, between the two worlds very, very smoothly, I guess. I don't know if that's smoothly or not.
You know, it's interesting that all the women actors who've gone from India to act in Hollywood are people like Aishwarya Rai and Frida Pinto and like people who are really pretty and act in movies where basically they have to be pretty.
Except Shabana.
Shabana, yes. And all the men that have gone from India are like definitely of the odd looking variety and all they need to do is act weird.
Except Shashi.
Amrish Puri in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that movie. I mean, do you know they actually banned that movie in India because they were like...
Did they really?
Yeah. Because they were like, that's not Indians. We don't eat monkey brains. What the hell is wrong with you people? White people are crazy.
Well, then why didn't the U.S. get to ban My Name is Khan in Retribution?
You guys fell down on the job. It's not our fault.
We were not paying attention.
Oh, God.
Yeah, my name is what?
All those movies, you know, what was really amazing to me is like when they still spell Khan as K-A-H-N, like Khan. And I'm just thinking, wow. And not just like any people, like, you know, like, serious industry people who'd be like, Amir Khan is in LA and he's like this huge star and then this fellow's name is K-A-H-N. And I'm thinking, well, I think that's like a completely different religion right there.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, those are my people. Yeah. Those are my people.
Same tree, different branch.
Yeah.
Are there some people that we'd like to see doing some straddling who aren't?
You know, I heard this rumor once, they said the director had seen Amitabh Bachchan on a flight and wanted to cast him as Saladin in one of those Crusade movies.
Oh.
And I don't think it ever happened, or I didn't. Maybe they offered it to him and he was like, no. But I would love to see Amitabh Bachchan in like an actual indie Western movie, like a British movie or a Hollywood movie. Just to see how that would work.
I would love to see it too. Do you think he would do it?
Why not? I mean, if he can do movies like Boom in India, I'm sure he can do like...
Well, but in India, everyone knows who he is. You know, it's very hard for me to imagine. And this is based solely on the sort of persona he gives off on his blog, which I can barely tolerate to read. It's very hard for me to imagine him going someplace and being willing to deal with people who don't understand who he is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and obviously lots of people around the world know who he is, and probably lots of filmmakers in various parts of the world, even where Indian films don't tend to be hugely popular, know who he is. But I still just can't imagine him sort of ego slumming it, even if the work itself is not slumming it in any way, the sort of him not getting to be Amitabh Bachchan. That's very hard for me to imagine. And now we really will break the internet.
I don't see Amitabh Bachchan trying to do an Irfan Khan in this day and age. Like, I know that, you know, I don't know if you guys are watching In Treatment, but, you know, Irfan Khan's, like, been making waves in Hollywood because of his work in this TV show called In Treatment. It's it's like a cable show. But I don't see him trying to get a new career in the West at this stage. also, again, you know, he's Amitabh freaking Bachchan. I mean, wherever he goes, he's like a superstar. He doesn't need it. But I do think that if somehow he ended up in a Western production, like a really good one, I would really love to see how that dynamic would work.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see, and this film ended up not being made for a number of reasons, but I really wanted to see Shabana Azmi in a Benazir Bhutto biopic.
Yes.
I would have given my left arm to see that. And it didn't happen.
Was she going to play Benazir Bhutto?
Yes.
Huh.
I mean, that was the speculation, of course. And I think it was maybe Mahesh Bhatt or somebody like that who was trying to put this together. But I may be remembering that wrongly. But yeah, I mean, Pakistan basically was like, no. Benazir Bhutto, the family and Pakistan both were like, Benazir Bhutto will not be played by an Indian actor. You know, end of discussion.
So is Amitabh Bachchan the only person that we want to see do this? Is nobody else?
Well, that's why I mentioned the Benazir Bhutto picture, because that's, you know, that, you know, Shabana has done a few turns in Hollywood, and they range from the kind of unmemorable, like her, you know, Madame Zuzatska. I mean, does anyone even remember that movie? To completely, like, utterly awful, like Son of the Pink Panther, which, yes, I did sit through because of my love for Shabana. So, So I would love to see her in like a meaty Shabana Azmi and Helen Mirren as, you know, I don't know what, but I would love. Thank you.
Awesome.
Like, yeah. I mean, I could see exactly.
They could solve crimes.
I could see that movie and like drop dead afterward and be happy, you know, but I don't know if that will ever happen, you know, if the right people will think of her. I mean, there's already so few roles for people like Helen Mirren and, you know, Meryl Streep. I mean, to throw in another actor of that caliber into the mix, you know, they'd have to have like the cage match to decide who gets to play the lead. But if that movie could get made, you know, Shabana Azmi starring in like a high quality, you know, Hollywood or indie, you know, American indie film, sure, I would kill to see it, but I don't know if it'll ever happen.
Well, that's depressing.
I know. Let's not finish on that note.
What about Indian art films? Like, what about, I don't know if we still would say that parallel cinema exists or what state it's in or whatever, and I'm not interested in that kind of, you know, categorizing really, but
right.
who among sort of mainstream stars today do we think would be interesting in something like an 80s parallel cinema movie, or even a Hrishikesh Mukherjee film, like that kind of middle cinema stuff. I think Honeymoon Travels, once again, kind of, to me, that's kind of a middle cinema sort of film, I guess.
Right.
But, you know,
well, how about Dor, like the women from Dor?
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, Konkona Sen Sharma is probably the canonical example, and she's somebody we've talked about before. Yeah. I love her. I mean, I think, who doesn't love her? I mean, I know it's sort of like almost vapid to say that, but she's fearless. Like, I think about her in a mainstream role. Like, I loved her in Aja Nachle, the way she was like completely fearless with the physicality of that role, like wiping snot on her sleeve and with the matted hair. I mean, that is a tomboy, you know, not like Kajol and Kuch Kuch Hota Hai is not a tomboy. You know, this is a tomboy. and I love that. I love that she was willing to be so unglamorous in a movie with, you know, Madhuri Dixit. You know,
like, true.
I can't out-glamour you, so I'm just going to go in the complete opposite direction. and it worked great. I mean, it worked great. And you know, so we know that she can do, you know, serious roles, like Page Three and you know, Mr. and Mrs. Eyer and whatever, but like,
and
wow, how great was she in Aja Nachle? I'd love to see her just in anything. She's showing signs of having that kind of range that we were talking about earlier. That
she's great in Wake Up Sid. She's great in Luck by Chance. She really has done a huge variety of things, I think. And it's,
as well as Omkara.
Yes, you know? Right. Yeah, so good.
That's a chipper way to end this. So
yeah.
Once again, Konkana Sen Sharma is the great hope of our podcast, because that's how we ended. I think that's how we ended our women currently working in indie cinema, right? We were like, more Konkana Sen Sharma. So we'll just say it
three
again.
Three cheers for Konkana Sen Sharma. Maybe I'll watch something of hers today to celebrate.
The this was Masala Zindabad, the podcast that ought to have been a book. Thank you for listening.